Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Entero Healthcare Solutions Limited Q4 FY 2024 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Agarwal.
Thank you. Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Entero Healthcare Solutions Limited Q4 FY 2024 and full year results earnings call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. On the call today, we have representing Entero Healthcare Solutions, the management team comprising of Mr. Prabhat Agarwal, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Prem Sethi, Whole-time Director and COO, and Mr. C.V. Ram, CFO. I will hand over the call to the management team to make the opening comments, and then we'll open the floor for questions. Please go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Nitin, so much for making the introductions. And good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining our conference call to discuss the operational and financial performance for quarter four as well as for full year financial year 2024. On this call, I'm joined by Prem, Whole-time Director, CEO, and co-founder of the company, Mr. C.V. Ram, Group CFO, and also our colleagues from SGA, Investor Relations Advisors. I hope everyone has had an opportunity to go through the financial results and investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchanges and on our company's website. I shall provide a brief introduction to our company along with the key operational highlights, after which Prem will take you through our acquisition growth strategy, and Ram will delve into our financial performance. Just to recap briefly, Entero Healthcare Solutions Limited has swiftly emerged as one of India's largest and fastest-growing healthcare product distribution platforms. Our vision is to create an organized, pan-India, technology-driven, and integrated healthcare product distribution network that adds value to the entire healthcare ecosystem. Our growth strategy has been twofold: organic expansion and strategic acquisitions. We have made 35 acquisitions since our foundation, which has significantly bolstered our market presence and operational capabilities. Additionally, yesterday we announced three more acquisitions which were approved by the board of directors. Since our inception 6 years ago, Entero has rapidly expanded its footprint across India. As of March 31, 2024, we operate 79 warehouses spread across 39 cities, serving over 86,300 retail pharmacies and 3,500 hospitals. This gives us the widest customer reach in the entire country. Our extensive network includes relationships with more than 2,000 healthcare product manufacturers, giving us access to over 68,900 stock-keeping units. This robust infrastructure positions Entero as one of the top three healthcare product distributors in India by revenue. Our vast product range, coupled with technology-driven inventory management and customer service, helps us to deliver very high fill rates for our customers and thereby creates very sticky value proposition for our business. Our nationwide geographic presence, along with our proprietary technology, helps us to provide extensive distribution reach and valuable insights for the manufacturers and brands that work with us. Driving on our unique business model in just 6 years, our operations experienced remarkable growth, with our revenue reaching 3,922 crores in FY 2024. Further, FY 2024 has been an eventful year for us, with total operating revenue of rupees 39,223 million, which is an increase of 19% over last year against a pharmaceutical industry growth rate of 7.6% and accompanied by an expansion in margins, which led us to turn PAT positive for the year. Similarly, in fourth quarter of FY24, the company registered 17% year-on-year increase in revenues, reaching rupees 1,034 crores, again delivering a growth which outpaced the Indian pharmaceutical market growth rate of 6% for the quarter. Looking ahead, our focus is on driving growth through both organic and inorganic opportunities. With the successful completion of our IPO in February 2024, we have strengthened our balance sheet, giving us the financial flexibility to pursue these strategic initiatives. We are very confident of delivering 35 to 40% revenue growth in FY25, driven by organic growth of 20% against an expected IPM growth of 8 to 10% and at least 1,000 crores of distributor acquisitions. We have acquired up to now 4 entities which had a historical revenues of 170 crores. There is robust pipeline of acquisitions which we are working on and are confident to close in next few months. This revenue expansion, driving operating leverage, apart from our procurement efficiencies and product mix, can help us to deliver 100 basis point improvement in EBITDA margins in FY25. We have already delivered 100 basis point improvement in margins in FY24 over FY23. With this, I will now request Prem to share his thoughts on our acquisition growth strategy.
Great. Thank you, Prabhat, and good evening, everyone. Entero aims to capitalize on industry consolidation, leveraging its access to capital, better resource management, scale advantage, and superior technology. The recent fundraise from the IPO positions Entero well to acquire distributors and expand its market further. Our strategy involves acquiring distributors at reasonable valuations, scaling up the acquired businesses by increasing their SKU counts, expanding to new territories, enhancing customer reach. Well, this strategy not only provides immediate market entry, but also drives substantial post-acquisition growth. Post-acquisition, Entero focuses on integrating the acquired businesses with its existing operations, optimizing processes, and leveraging its technological infrastructure to enhance service delivery and operational efficiencies. In the year FY24, we have continued to focus on strategic acquisitions to enhance our market position and expand our product offerings. The acquisitions of Dhanvantri and RS Enterprises have been successfully integrated, contributing to our revenue growth and expanding our geographic footprint. In May 2024, we acquired 80% equity stake in Every Life Care, a strategic move that aligns with our growth objectives and strengthens our foothold in the state of Telangana. The acquisition of Avenir marks a significant step in expanding our footprint in specialty medicine such as oncology, critical care, and blood plasma segments. I'm also very pleased to announce that we have secured board approval for 3 acquisitions of distributors located in Noida, Bijapur, which is part of Karnataka, and Ahmedabad. These acquisitions align with our strategic objective to diversify our portfolio, enhance our market presence, and capitalize on new growth opportunities. The acquisition of the distributor in Ahmedabad will open up new avenues in the medical device and consumables in cardiology segment. The acquisition in Bijapur will expand our geographical reach and customer base. In Noida, our acquisition of the distributor will complement our existing business centers in the NCR region. The newly acquired entities will add Ahmedabad and Bijapur to our operational network. This acquisition will increase our total presence to 41 cities across India. The financial impact of these 4 acquisitions will be noteworthy as we expect to add close to 170 crores plus annualized revenue from these acquisitions. We have acquired Life Care in Hyderabad with about last year revenue of 51 crores, Suprabhat in Bijapur with about 26 crores, 11 million annualized, and Visionary in Ahmedabad and Amar Drugs in Noida. Entero also has a robust acquisition pipeline. The company plans to acquire at least 1,000 crores of acquisition in the FY25. As we speak, we are working with various potential acquisition targets which are at various stages of acquisition process right now. We are working hard to close these in the first half of this year. With this, I will now ask Ram to summarize the company's financial performance for Q4 and FY24. Thank you.
Thank you, Prem. Good evening, everyone. This is Ram, Group Chief Financial Officer. To summarize financial performance for Q4 FY24, we have delivered a revenue growth of 17%, EBITDA growth of 42% on year-on-year basis, whereas for the year FY24, our revenue growth has been 19% and EBITDA growth has been 75% on year-on-year basis. Coming to Q4 FY24 consolidated financial highlights, revenue for Q4 FY24 stood at rupees 1,034 crores with a growth of 17% on year-on-year basis. Gross margin of 9% in Q4 FY24 vis-a-vis 8% in Q4 FY23, an improvement of 95 basis points. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 29 crores with a growth of 42% on year-on-year basis. EBITDA margin stood at 2.8%, which improved by 49 basis points. The improvement in operating profitability can be attributed to better gross margins. Profit after tax for the quarter is 21 crores as compared to loss of 4 crores in the same quarter last year. Now coming to FY24 consolidated financial highlights, revenue for FY24 is at rupees 3,922 crores with a growth of 19% on year-on-year basis. We have grown significantly at a higher pace as compared to IPM growth. The robust growth in revenue was on account of addition of new customers, new districts, new SKUs as well as new healthcare product manufacturers that we have added. Gross profit margin stood at 9% for the year, an improvement of 84 basis points from last year. This enhancement in gross margin can be attributed to procurement efficiencies, which have allowed us to manage costs more effectively and increased service fee income from our third-party marketing business. EBITDA for FY24 is at 112 crores, an increase of 75% on year-on-year basis. Operating margin for FY24 is at 2.9%, which is an improvement of 91 basis points compared to last year. This margin expansion is primarily due to higher gross margins and operating leverage. PAT for FY24 is at 40 crores, as against loss of 11 crores corresponding last year. This improvement in profitability is driven by higher EBITDA, interest income from the IPO proceeds in the last 1.5 months, and deferred tax provisions. On the working capital front, our working capital days as on 31st March 2024 stood at 67 days as compared to 64 days last year. During FY24, we have witnessed a strong improvement in our return profile of the company with a normalized ROC improving from 6.1% to 10.2%, whereas our normalized return on equity improved to 6% from a negative last year. With this, I would like to conclude the presentation and open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Gautam Gosar with Monarch AIF. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I have only one question on working capital. So, sir, your net working capital days is around 73 to 74 days, which were around 67, 68 days last year. So, sir, any reason why these working capital days have gone up?
So, you know, if you calculate your working capital on annualized basis, you know, it will look higher. But if you just look at the quarter four, you know, numbers, you know, using quarter four revenues, then our working capital is around 64 days. You know, because there is a significant scale-up of revenues from quarter one to quarter four, and part of the acquisitions that were done during the year, whose entire working capital has been consolidated in financials, but entire year revenues have not been consolidated, that has also led to an increase in number of days on a consolidated basis.
Yes, sir, but this year we have not done many acquisitions in FY24. Then too, our working capital has gone up, so I didn't understand any reason for that going up.
See, the acquisitions, the two acquisitions that happened in FY24, that happened towards the second half of the year, right? So, you know, only partial revenues could be consolidated.
Okay, understood. And in the presentation, you've given a working capital as 67 days, but that includes, you've calculated including GST. If you exclude GST, it's a 73-74 days number. So so why, including GST, you've calculated the working capital? Is there any comment on that?
Yeah, the GST, is the receivables and payables, if you look at, it includes GST. So, you know, to have the standardized practice, we have been doing this for the past 1 year in terms of adding the GST to the revenue. That gives the correct picture. The receivables and payables include the GST component as well in the working capital.
Okay. And sir, also one more thing on working capital. So out of the 951 crores you've raised from the IPO, you've already utilized around 158 crores, if I'm not wrong, already in the working capital. So, sir, could you highlight like where this working capital has gone? Because organically also we've not, like we don't require that much working capital, and inorganic acquisitions also weren't much in FY24. So, sir, where have you utilized this 158 crores?
Yeah, so this amount we have used for the, you know, purchasing of material, you know, goods in during the, you know, after IPO, that is after February 16th till 31st March. So that we have better utilized those funds for the purchase of bills in terms of goods, in terms of working reduction on working capital there, in terms of then while the collections was has reduced our working capital limits. That is what you can see in the reduction in the debt for us. So that has resulted in the interest cost optimization as well for that 1.5 months. So basically it we have utilized it for the working capital for the current month. At the same time, the collections that we have used to reduce the debt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
It's not over and above the working capital that we already have. That's what I mean.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Chintan Seth with Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and congratulations on the successful IPO and a good set of numbers. Hope I'm audible.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. So basically, I was just looking at the full year numbers, the 100 basis point improvement in EBITDA margin which we have seen. A large part of it has come from the gross margin improvement, right? 90 basis point improvement we have seen in improving gross margin. But despite, you know, 18-19% revenue growth, our OPEX has kind of stayed flat, be it employee cost or other operating expenses, where we have not able to see the leverage which one would have expected with the growth in revenue. Could you highlight going forward when you guide 100 basis point improvement, how much we will be leveraging from, you know, more better sourcing, better procurement, as well as from the operating leverage?
So, Chintan, going forward, you know, because in the next year or FY25, we are expecting a significant revenue expansion, right? Because both last year, you know, large part of the growth was organically driven, right? Inorganic component was very small. This year, we have both the levers, organic plus inorganic, right? So, a large part of revenue expansion would happen, and a large part of that will, you know, deliver operating leverage for us, right? So in this year, as I guided in the beginning of the call, that we are looking at 100 bps improvement again in this year over last year. So it will be a mix of, you know, gross margin expansion, which will be delivered through, you know, procurement efficiencies and product mix and operating leverage. But the operating leverage component could be bigger in this year as compared to last year.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Secondly, on the white label part, that was one of the key levers for gross margin expansion. If you can highlight or provide some detail, how was the mix this year versus last year? What this 90 basis point, how much of it is coming from white label expansion in our revenue? And how should we, one should look share of white label going forward, you know, in terms of growth?
So see, white label has never been a very major contributor to gross margin expansion historically also, and we haven't guided that, you know, white label would be the big contributor of that, right? Our product mix is driven by, you know, those products which inherently give more margins, for example, consumables or, you know, medical devices, which carry
right.
a gross margins which are 1.5 to 2 times of pharma gross margin, right?
Correct.
So when I speak of product mix, it's not only private label, it includes, you know, moving the product mix towards, you know, higher gross margin products, which are, you know, let's say non-pharma category.
Okay.
That's the last part, and that journey is continuous. You know, this year, you know, for example, the acquisition that we did, Visionary in Ahmedabad, Visionary Healthcare, is primarily you know, medical device distributor, right? So, you know, that category typically enjoys 1.5 to 2 times of pharma gross margins. So these kind of acquisitions and these kind of organic initiatives from our side would help us to expand gross margins further.
Sure. And last on the 1,000 crore revenue, inorganic revenue addition, what is the outlay we are planning to spend on expanding that growth?
So typically, you know, we have guided that, you know, based on historical averages, if we look at, you know, typically our enterprise value is like 1/4 of the revenue, right? So you can expect, you know, 250 to 300 crores enterprise value for 1,000 crore of revenue in that ballpark range.
Mr. Seth, are you done with your questions? Since there is no reply from the line of Mr. Seth, I'll make an announcement. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. We have a question from the line of Ameya Palakhe with GM Financials. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. It's Ameya Chalke. Yeah, and congrats to the management for the result. The first question I have is, would it be possible for you to explain how things have changed in, let's say, particular region or location once the consolidation has started happening? Is there any anecdotal evidence or some experience you can share where you have gained good market share or post-acquisition, etc.?
Yeah, there are many markets where we have gained very good share in post-acquisition. For example, in Bangalore, you know, our market share will be between 15% to 20%, right? In Vizag, our market share will be in double digit. In Cochin, our market share will be in double digit. In Goa, our market share will be in double digit. So there are many markets where, you know, we now have a significant market share in that territory.
And what do you think would be the scope for you to keep gaining market share in these regions? Like, do we have to keep acquiring more distributors, or organically itself we can keep gaining market share as well?
So as I told you, you know, that, you know, our organic growth target is 20%. The market is not going to grow by 20%, right? So market is going to grow probably half of it. So naturally, the additional delta 10% growth is going to come from, you know, gaining market share only. And our market share gains are basically driven by our unique value proposition, which is for our customer, which is a very wide product range and delivered to the customers, you know, at a very conveniently, a 3 times, 4 times during the day, right? So, you know, naturally, it gives a very sticky value proposition for us because the customers, they want, you know, the entire basket at one place and, you know, and delivered in time. And that's how, you know, most of these, even, you know, good commerce businesses or any businesses are being built, you know, where, you know, you get a good product range and a certain timely delivery.
Sure. The second question I have is on the 1,000 crore target we have in mind for the inorganic thing. What would be the execution risk related to these inorganic routes? What things could basically delay some of these acquisitions? and what would be our second plant for this time?
So, you know, we have enough pool of targets to acquire, you know, so it's not that we are relying on few targets to meet those, you know, 1,000 crore targets, right? So we have ample pipeline available. And, you know, the market conditions are such that, you know, we are one of the few buyers who are ready to buy a distribution business. And there are many people who are feeling the heat and, you know, either because of business pressures or because of succession issues, you know, they are willing to transact. And we don't see that changing in near term. You know, maybe I'll ask Prem to, you know, kind of add to it.
Sure. Thanks, Prabhat. So we don't, one, we have a very robust pipeline, as Prabhat mentioned. That means in every single micro market that we are currently looking at acquiring, we are talking to multiple partners in a similar micro market, right? So even if, you know, one transaction or one particular deal, you know, doesn't happen, we have alternates, plan B, plan C, you know, available in the same micro market to actually go ahead and then conclude on those transactions. So we have a fairly decent numbers as well as, you know, micro market targets available, which is what we said that we're very confident of doing about 1,000 crore plus acquisition within, you know, next few months.
Sure. And the last thing on the chart which you have shown, the of where the India map is there, the locations I believe are related to warehouses, etc. So in Maharashtra in particular, we see only present in Mumbai. So is there a good scope for you to grow in Maharashtra? Is that how we should see it or like?
Yes, why not? You know, because the locations on the map is only where we have physical warehouses. So we have now physical warehouses in 39 cities. Even though we are from those 39 cities, we are, you know, supplying in 540 odd districts in India, right? So these are only supply hubs. These are not necessarily only the places where we are serving customers. We are serving customers in much wider geographic area. So, you know, in Maharashtra, for example, we would want more centers to be open. We are exploring in Pune, in Nasik, in Aurangabad,
in Jalgaon, yeah.
Jalgaon, various other micro markets.
Sure. Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Chintan Seth with Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Sorry for my line disconnected. So you mentioned EV of 250 to 300 crore. That's the target for 1,000 crore kind of addition, right?
Yeah, in ballpark, yes.
Yes, okay, got it. And in terms of to bring this 1,000 crore of revenue, how much working capital which will get blocked incrementally for us? If you can just run us through how working capital will shape up with the kind of growth we are investing going forward.
So when we said, you know, 300 crores of enterprise value, that includes the working capital that comes along with 1,000 crores of revenue. Okay. It includes that.
Okay. But typically it won't materially change the working capital structure as we have currently.
Sorry,
can
you repeat the last part, please?
So I'm saying whether that can change the working capital, you know, profile of our company materially.
So we are, you know, as of now, we are at 60-65 days, right? So more or less, these acquisitions are in that ballpark range only.
Because what is happening is, like you mentioned in your earlier remarks that the acquisition happened at the end, back end of the period where your working capital was booked for that acquiree assets fully, while the revenue recognized was for the partial period, right? And that the profile, the similar effects can happen.
So that is determined by the timing of acquisition, right? So if you do more towards the end of the year, you will have an impact on the closing working capital reported.
It's just a timing thing. Got it.
It will normalize over the next few quarters, right?
Thank you. Mr. Seth, we request you to please join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from the line of Tushar Sarda from Ethana Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. since your strategy is acquisition-led, I had two questions related to that. One is, you know, what price do you pay for this acquisition as multiple of sales or profit? What is the payback period? And how do you account for the acquisition cost in the P&L? You know, over what period do you write off? And then related to this is, you know, how does the economics work for you? You know, do you see a jump in gross margin because you are a much larger organization? So if you can throw some light on this aspect, that would be helpful. Thank you.
So, you know, I had kind of explained the acquisition economics in part of my roadshow also, and maybe in, even in our last investor call, right? So, you know, first of all, you know, we should not say that our strategy is acquisition-led. You know, I would say that, you know, acquisition is a means to achieve an all-India presence, okay? Is a means to achieve a wide product segment, wide customer base. So, that's not the end. Acquisition gives us a market entry, and a wider customer base, a wider product segment base on which we want to create a pan-India distribution platform, right? So, now coming to, you know, using inorganic to do that, you know, see, as I told you, typically, you know, we buy the these targets on an EV EBITDA multiple basis, right? And EV EBITDA multiple basis could be mid to high EV EBITDA multiple, right? Single digit, mid to high single digit EV EBITDA multiple basis, right? So, and if you look at, you know, economics of, you know, return, you know, typically, I give you an example. For example, if you buy an distributor whose sales is, for example, 100 rupees, right? And let's say he's making, you know, 4 rupees of EBITDA. For example, or 5 rupees of EBITDA. Let's use for example 4 rupees of EBITDA. Even if we value him at 6 times or 7 times, you know, let's say 6 times, then we will be like 24 rupees of enterprise value, right? To run a 100 rupee business, you know, he would have definitely employed 15 to 16 rupees of working capital. So we are paying 24 rupees to acquire a revenue of 100 rupees, which will deliver us an EBITDA of 4 rupees, and along with it, we are also getting 16 rupees of working capital. So the goodwill, the intangible part that we are paying is around 8 rupees, right? And if we, you know, even if we don't do much with the business and the business continues to deliver only 4 rupees, we will get back our money in 2 years, right? And if we grow the business, that the way we have grown our business historically, where we had a very high organic growth rate, it can come in less than 2 years back, the entire goodwill amount, the intangible amount.
Okay. And how do you account for the acquisition cost? Do you write it off over a period of time? What is your policy on that?
You mean the diligence costs and all? Diligence costs will be...
The goodwill which you pay. Are you carrying it in the books or you write it off over a period of time?
We do carry in the books and then it will be tested for impairment at every closing.
Okay. So, versus, you know, organically growing, if you were to grow organically, you would have incurred costs, which would have been expense, right? So, these acquisition costs are not getting expense.
Yeah. So, if you would have taken, first of all, you would have taken a much longer year to grow organically up to that size. You would have might incur some operating losses in the first few years at the time when you are building it up, right? So the goodwill premium that you pay is basically to take care of that.
No, that I understand. I'm just saying expensing out that goodwill premium, because it's ultimately a cost of building business organically versus acquiring inorganically, right?
Right. So it will be in the balance sheet. I think we are carrying what, 190 crores.
190 crores as of March, yes.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is
190 crores of goodwill we have paid, and on that we have built 4,000 crore of business.
Yeah, I understand that. What I'm saying is that shouldn't be written off over a period of time, over 3 years, 5 years, over some time, because it's kind of. Cost of building a business, organic versus inorganic. It's the cost of building the business.
Yeah, we are following the accounting standards. I think that permits only for the goodwill to test for impairment for the future growth, and that we test it at every balance sheet date, and then we carry that. There is no option to.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Jay Shah with OHM Portfolio Equity Research Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are a little feeble though.
Hello, is it better?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, again, you know, going back to the acquisition economics, how do you relate it in terms of price to book? And my issue is that, yeah, while you say that the payback period is 2-2.5 years, it is not visible on your ROE and ROCE. So what are we missing out?
I'm not able to understand your calculations. Can you elaborate, please?
My first question is, you know, when you do these purchases on EV EBITDA, what do you pay in terms of price to book value?
Book value in the sense, net asset value?
Yeah, of the acquired company.
So that's what I said, no? We are paying, a goodwill over the asset value, right? So the asset we are putting in our books and goodwill also we are recording in our balance sheet.
Yeah, but let's say you bought an asset, a company which had a revenue of 100, EBITDA of 4, and a balance sheet size or, you know, gross block of whatever, 20, 30, because that could be just the office. Or you don't buy their offices and stores.
No, we don't buy, these land and buildings and all those kind of things. We only take over, the operational assets, which is working capital, and, some computers and all those kind of stuff.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you're not buying out the whole company, you're only buying out the working capital and the investment from the company.
Yeah, if the owner was operating on his own land and building, we would not buy the land and building, we would rent it from him.
I see. Okay, so that is clear. And my second part of the question is on if payback period is 2 to 2.5 years, why is it not showing up in your ROEs and ROCE, which are in single digit?
No, so, at an operating level, for example, as I told you, in our books, there is 190 crores of goodwill, right? Lying, and our operating EBITDA gross of our corporate cost would be around that. So that amount of cash flow, that amount of profit is being generated by acquired entities already, right? But we have a corporate cost on top of it, which dilutes their operating profit to an extent. Our corporate cost is close to a 1% right now, so that gets deducted from the operating margins of the subsidiaries.
No, that I can understand in terms of margins. So when you look at return on investment, I'm saying you've not bought any assets. You've only bought the business. And whatever you have paid in goodwill, you are recovering it within 2 to 3 years because you said your payback is two and a half years. In that case, your return ratio should have been much more stronger and visible.
When I'm saying I'm talking about 2 to 2.5 years to get back the goodwill part, the net working capital stay invested, no?
Yeah, but the net working capital then goes back into sales, right? Over time. So your net working capital, when I see on the balance sheet, again, is only 67 days. It's not very high.
So we are calculating, Ram, why don't you explain him the formula, how we calculate our return ratio?
Yeah, return on investment, return on capital employed is the same formula which is standard in terms of equity plus debt that we have deployed, right? So, and the undeployed money we are not considering there, and which is at 10.2% at present. We consider the PBT plus the interest cost for the EBIT.
No, I understand the accounting standards. Anyway, I think I'll make a request and perhaps take this offline. Thank you very much.
Yeah, please connect offline and we can see where the disconnect coming from.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Dhruv Shah with Ambika FinCap. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Team, I have one question pertaining to, we had, you know, tied up with Roche for marketing, distributing their four nephrology drugs. Can you say what's the status and is any other such kind of pipeline? Do we have such products in the pipeline? Because this would be a higher margin products for us, right?
So we have two contracts like that, which is currently in operation. One is, of course, the Roche one, and another is with Abbott. Those two are continuing while we are working on with other similar propositions with other companies, but others have not been concluded yet.
And ideally, this would be a high margin products for us?
Yeah, the gross margins for this will be higher.
Better. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Alok Dalal with Jefferies India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Two, three questions. So first is on the EBITDA margin guidance of 100 basis points. So Prabhat, this will be on the reported EBITDA margin of 2.8%, right? Or this
yes.
is a pro forma number?
No, reported.
Okay. And with this kind of margin improvement, should one look at mid-teens kind of ROCEs for FY25?
I think yes, yes, should be. We haven't done the calculation, but should be.
Okay. And Prabhat, what is the current sales force that goes to retailers and asks for business? And how does the overall sales force expand based on the organic growth that you are targeting?
So we have around 1,000 people, which is sales plus delivery. You know, some people double up as sales as well as delivery, right? So together we have around 1,000 people in the company who is doing the job of sales plus delivery, which is booking the order, collecting the money, and sometimes delivering the product also.
Okay. And this number will more or less remain unchanged?
No, it will change. It will go up to a certain extent.
Okay. 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 Thank you, Prabhat.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sriram R, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is on the ROE. In FY24, we ended with 6% ROE. So after factoring margin improvement and also post-acquisition, what would be a sustainable ROE range? The thing is, I'm sure you'll have a target ROE range, 2 to 3 years down the lane. So what is that number?
20% plus.
20% plus, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Utsav Jaipuria with DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a few questions from my side. Firstly, on this private label piece, what's the status here? What are our plans for the next 2 years? And how do you think this will contribute to gross margins going forward?
I think I answered this question before also, that private label is not the biggest driver of our growth nor of the margins, right? So our gross margin expansion is more driven by the way we buy, the price at which we buy, and also from the product mix, which is related to non-pharma, which is more medical devices and surgical consumables, right? So private label is not a very big part of our business. It's contributing 1% right now, and I don't see that will become a huge part of our business in going forward as well.
Thanks. And secondly, on this 1,000 crore acquisition guidance that you've given, this 1,000 crore revenues, right?
Yes, that's correct.
So on that, we can assume like a 4,000 crore sort of outlay for the next year.
Sorry, 1,000 crores you are saying what?
So on the 1,000 crore revenue that you're guiding to through acquisitions, we can assume like a 4,000 crore sort of outlay for the acquisition. Sorry.
This one is other way around. You should have, we said, you know, 250 to 300 crores of outlay.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Nitesh Dutt with Permanent Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for this opportunity. I just have one question. So our employee expenses plus OPEX in FY24, it's close to 240 CR. So I just want to understand if you can provide some sort of breakup on what would be the fixed cost, as in the corporate overheads, etc., and what is the variable cost out of it?
Sorry, can you just, I understood the fixed cost, variable cost breakup that you asked. What was the initial part of it? It was not.
For the employee cost and the other expenses, which total to be around 240 CR.
Correct. Okay. What is the question?
So the question is the employee expenses and other expenses. I want to understand if you have any bifurcation on what are the fixed costs and variable costs out of this.
Yes. So see, out of total 6% of the total operating expenses that we have, so you can expect, you know, about 0.8 to 1% is variable cost and rest is all fixed cost.
Okay. So so out of 6, 5 is variable and 0.8 to 1 is, 5 is fixed and 0.8 to 1 is variable. So does it mean that let's say your revenue gets double over the coming years, 6% would come down to 3.5 to 4%?
It depends on the revenue increase. Definitely, the fixed cost will have the operating leverage. The 5% will always have real leverage, while the 1% is variable.
Understood. And that variable is it dependent on the number of pharmacies, etc., you will be having? So or just want to understand what is it linked to, number of SKUs, number of products?
Revenue, it is distribution cost and, you know, other
sales commission and delivery cost.
Sales commission and delivery cost.
Correct. And sir, amongst the fixed costs, what would be your biggest spend in terms of employee cost? So is it like tech expenses, corporate overheads? So out of roughly 150 CR of employee expenses, if you are saying 70-80% of that is fixed, so where exactly is that going into?
No, manpower cost is the biggest one. So I think further I'll simplify for you. Out of this 5%, 1% is corporate. So 4% is fixed, you know, on the at the unit level. 1% is variable and 1% is corporate cost. That's how you should read it. And this 4% predominantly will have manpower cost.
And
cost.
Manpower is charging warehousing, you know, receiving, inverting, dispatching, packing, all this.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Nitin Agarwal with DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, Nitin.
Okay. Prabhat, two things. One is, A, on our acquisition strategy, now when we currently doing about 86,000 retailers are you reaching out to. So when you think about your acquisition plans over the next 2-3 years, so what are the, I mean, you did highlight the fact that you are looking to add more specialty, you know, sort of formats and distributors going forward. Barring that, is there a number of retailers you want to reach out to over, say, next 2-3 years, which sort of gives you the critical mass from there on? You don't need to probably, you need to be start to become very selective beyond that when your coverage becomes sufficient from a network perspective?
So, Nitin, you are looking guidance on what's the, you know, tipping point beyond where we reach a threshold of retailer reach, and beyond that we don't have to really go and acquire, at least for retailer acquisition. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
So once you have our next 2-3 years view is that, you know, if we reach 200,000-250,000 retail reach, that will be a substantial reach within the country. You know, which after which, you know, your new geography additions could be very limited.
And how much would you need to spend to get to this number? I mean, obviously, it's in your assessment based upon whatever you've seen of the seen for the market.
Part of it will come through organic growth that we are having, and part of it will new geography expansion. For example, you know, let's say we acquired this guy in Bijapur, he will add some certain number of retailers to our retail base. Or we acquired in Hyderabad or in Ahmedabad, so they will give us new customers that were not existing for us, right? So together, both organically, we are also trying to drive higher retail reach, and through inorganic as well.
But broadly, your sense is by F27, if we put sort of time to it, you would be largely done with your, you know, retailer reach perspective. I mean, acquisition from a retailer reach to get to a desired level of a retailer reach perspective.
I think it's more than the timing, is the number of retailers, right? So, for example, somebody asked question on today that, you know, in Maharashtra we have only in Mumbai, right? So from Mumbai we are only reaching out to a limited number of retailers in Maharashtra. So, you know, if we open more branches, acquire more entities within Maharashtra, our retailer reach will grow up significantly. But beyond a point, you know, you would be able to service additional retailers from those supply points only, right? You won't need to go to, you know, we won't need to acquire, keep on acquiring to reach every large retailer in the country.
And secondly, you know, how much of our business currently is coming from trade generics, or is there a, and do you see that proportion increasing for you?
This proportion is insignificant right now for us. Trade generic is not a substantial part of our business today. But this is a growth area, you know, we're seeing good traction in that business. So, you know, even some of our acquisition strategy could also be to, you know, acquire certain of those distributors.
And last, if I can, you know, as you keep increasing scale, have you, in your experience over the years, have you seen that increases your ability to take higher gross margins from the manufacturers?
Yes. Yes.
And this is in lieu of what? What do you provide them? You know, it's just, you know, is there something that you more, that our ability to, any services, our ability to provide certain sort of services increases with the increase our, with the increase
two, primarily two, three things. One is data, and the second is ability to give them higher growth.
Okay. And is there a number that we can put to it in terms of, you know, as you get scale, what is the incremental amount of gross margins that you can probably start to achieve on some of your on an overall basis on this account, or just on the benefit of scale?
I won't guide right now on what could be the, you know, incremental margin impact coming from that initiative only, because I've given an overall guidance on, you know, gross margin expansion, and part of that gross margin expansion is coming through this only.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nitesh Dutt with Berman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, just to follow up on my previous question regarding fixed versus variable cost. So if I look at FY24 versus 23, our total revenue has gone up by 19% and the employee plus other expenses has gone up by 18%. So you mentioned that fixed cost is roughly 80-90%. So two questions here. One, why is the leverage not visible yet in historic 1-2 year numbers? And second, under what circumstances in future do you expect the leverage to come through?
Yeah, so this leverage is visible actually. If we see, I think last year to current year, you see a lesser visibility here because we have done, you know, Q4, you know, reflects the total revenue reflects, you know, only in a part of the acquisitions that we did, whereas you have the costs that have come in. The only 20 bps of, you know, improvement that has been visible in the current year. But in the previous year, if you see, we were at 7.4%. We came down to 6.2 to now 6.1. So that is the trajectory on the total operating expenditure, including unit level and corporate level.
Alright. And going forward, you expect leverage to play out from FY25 onwards, right?
definitely because of the inorganic growth will directly result into this corporate cost, you know, will dial in that leverage there. And also most of our cost is fixed, as I mentioned, 4%, which includes predominantly the staff costs and admin costs on the ground. So they will definitely dial in the leverage.
All right.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. We have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Well, thank you very much, everyone, for joining this call. I hope we have been able to address all your queries. As I said in the call, we remain extremely confident about the future financial performance of the company, and we thank you for your interest. We also thank, you know, our investor relations, you know, advisors, strategy growth advisors, and we request you, if you need further information, kindly get in touch with them. Thank you once again, and have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good day, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.